news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Longtime Donald Trump friend, advisor, and accomplice Roger Stone was sentenced to 40 months in federal prison on Thursday for obstructing a congressional investigation into Russia's meddling in the 2016 presidential election. U.S. District Judge Amy Berman Jackson had a few things to say before she handed down her sentence. Quote, "He was not prosecuted, as some have complained, for standing up for the president. He was prosecuted for covering up for the president." She also said, quote, "There was nothing unfair, phony, or disgraceful about the investigation or the prosecution." Adding, quote, "At his core, Mr. Stone is an insecure person who craves and recklessly pursues attention." I think that's pretty accurate. Stone reportedly showed no emotion while the sentence was read, almost appearing bored. He stared with his hands in his pockets and continually rocked on his heels, but he smiled creepily outside the Washington courthouse as he left. Stone will not have to report to prison until the judge acts on a defense motion for a new trial based on a claim of juror bias. Just hours after the sentence was announced, Donald Trump, of course, weighed in, saying, "I'm following this very closely, and I want to see it play out to its fullest because Roger has a very good chance of exoneration, in my opinion." Yeah. In other news guaranteed to make you sick, the New York Times broke the story Thursday afternoon that intelligence officials briefed House members last week on new information that Russia is already trying to interfere in the 2020 election to help Donald Trump win. Aside from helping Trump get reelected, Russia is also trying to raise questions about the integrity of the election process, according to one of the sources. News of the briefing reportedly didn't go over well with Trump, who has repeatedly downplayed Russia's efforts to interfere in U.S. elections and has dismissed findings by U.S. intelligence agencies. The New York Times reporting further that a day after the briefing, Trump excoriated outgoing acting director of National Intelligence, Joseph McGuire, for allowing the briefing to occur before the House Intelligence Committee, whose chair, Adam Schiff, led the impeachment proceedings against Trump. Reuters reported that a person familiar with the matter said Republicans on the committee, quote, went nuts and questioned the findings. Former CIA Director John Brennan explained how disturbing this all is on MSNBC.
I think there is tremendous concern that this just is a continuation of the trend that they have seen for quite some time. Donald Trump has been very dismissive and even disparaging of the intelligence profession and intelligence professionals and their products that they send to him. But it's one thing for him to ignore it. It's another thing for him to actively try to prevent the Congress from gaining access to this intelligence that is so necessary for the Congress to be able to do its job. So I think they see this as portending even greater efforts on the part of Trump to put his loyalists in these positions so they can squelch the intelligence that really is necessary for national security. And that's why I said this is a crisis.
I think you've worked for six presidents.
That's correct.
Three Republicans, three Democrats. Have you ever seen anything like this?
Never, ever. I didn't agree with a lot of the president's decisions throughout the course of those six administrations. But I never got the sense that they didn't want the intelligence community to do its work to the executive branch as well as to the legislative branch. But what we're seeing now is such an anomaly, such an aberration from what we have seen in the past about the importance of the independence of the intelligence community. Two nonpartisan national security professionals have been removed at the helm of the intelligence community. Joe McGuire and then Andrew Hallman, who is a senior CIA officer who is serving as Joe McGuire's deputy. That is a virtual decapitation of the intelligence community. And now who is going in there? Someone who has no experience, no credentials, as far as the intelligence community is concerned, Richard Grenell. And so the intelligence professionals can only see this as yet one more example that they are not being allowed to do their job.
It just gets worse and worse. Iranians are voting in parliamentary elections on Friday as tensions mount both at home and abroad. It was barely a month ago that the U.S. and Iran were brought to the brink of war, thanks to Donald Trump. And a few months before that, Iranian leadership responded to anti-government protests over there with a brutal crackdown. Friday's election is expected to show how far the highest powers in Iran have moved from current President Hassan Rouhani's modernizing agenda in favor of more conservatives and hardliners. After thousands of candidates were disqualified from running, there will be fewer moderates on the ballot for Iranians to vote for. So the results will most likely be a big win for conservative and hardline candidates. Ugh. And they'll vote again in Israel on March 2nd, where a criminally indicted Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is hoping the third time is the charm for him to stay in office. So what does he do? He announced plans to build thousands of new homes in a part of Jerusalem that the international community holds as the capital of a future Palestinian state. The announcement immediately angered Palestinians, who called it land theft and a violation of international law. The international community considers Israeli neighborhoods in East Jerusalem as settlements in violation of international law, though Israel insists it has the right to build anywhere in its capital city. This latest announcement is an attempt to woo right-wing voters, as election polls have repeatedly shown Netanyahu's Likud party trailing the rival blue and white party by one or two seats. Stay tuned. It was just a few days ago that it looked like the coronavirus outbreak appeared to be slowing down, but that's no longer the case. China's Hubei province, which is at the center of the outbreak, announced 631 new infections, bringing the total number of cases worldwide to more than 76,000. South Korea is seeing a surge in cases, with the number of infections almost doubling in 24 hours. Meanwhile, the Washington Post is reporting on this disturbing news. 14 Americans who contracted the virus on a cruise ship in Japan were transported back to the United States against the wishes of the Centers for Disease Control. A total of 328 Americans were quarantined on the ship for weeks before the test results showed 14 of them had the coronavirus. And the State Department had said no one with the infection would be allowed on one of these chartered flights back. But after a reported fight with the CDC, the State Department did send those infected Americans back to the United States on one of these chartered planes, separated from the rest of the passengers by a simple tarp. And finally, from the ironic files, acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney privately told an audience in the UK on Wednesday that continued growth in the United States requires more workers and legal immigrants. Quote, "We are desperate," he said, "desperate for more people. We are running out of people to fuel the economic growth that we've had in our nation over the last 4 years. We need more immigrants." I just can't anymore. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. And while you're there, please click on that donate button.